And let's have just a further word of prayer before we read part of this chapter together. Dear Lord, we do come to you in our weakness, all of us. Myself, Lord, as I speak, and all of us as we listen, without your help, without your grace, without the enabling of your Holy Spirit, without that faith that only you can give, Lord, we will not be able to hear your voice or to respond. So we commit ourselves to you unreservedly, and we thank you that our salvation is of the Lord, and that this time in your word, it is only by your grace and by your blessing that anything of eternal value can be accomplished. Lord, we look to you for that accomplishing of all your purposes for us this morning. Amen. Let's read from verse 16. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance, or the reality, belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. The message that I want to bring to you this morning is in essence very, very straightforward. Indeed, if you were with us during the week of prayer in January, you would have heard it then as well. I'm bringing it now because not everybody was at the week of prayer. And I want to underline, I believe, what the Lord is saying to us here at Bethel Christian Assembly, which is a little phrase in verse 19. I read from the New American Standard, it talks, the end of the phrase, it says, grows with a growth which is from God. Or the Authorized Version says, increase with the increase of God. And I do sincerely believe, and I think the Lord brought it to us as a church at the beginning of the year, that God's desire this year for every one of us, individually, but essentially corporately, because that is really what Colossians 2 is talking about, is that there should be a growth, an enlargement, and an increase. While Colossians chapter 2 is primarily talking corporately, nevertheless, all of us have some responsibility individually, a great deal of responsibility, of course, to enable that to happen. That is why the first part of the verse talks about holding fast to the head. More of that anon. But I want to bring just this encouragement, or to underline this message, really, that God is looking for growth. God is looking for increase. And will you notice, please, that whilst there may be plenty of recommended techniques and helps, self-help books or whatever that say this is how to grow, some of them under the guise of being Christian, this increase comes from God. There are no formulae, there are no quick fixes, there are no shortcuts. This is a growth that must come from God. And thank God it does come from him and he can give it. Psalm 67 and verse 6 speaks about, then the earth shall bring forth her increase. Now, of course, there in the psalm, it's speaking about the harvest and about fruitfulness on in the natural realm. And the Bible speaks a lot about increase and growth in all sorts of different ways. But at the beginning of that psalm, it says that increase is as a result of the favour of God being upon us. And I think there's a spiritual principle here. You know, we can come into the increase of God as God shines his face upon us and looks with favour upon us. I do believe that the Lord is favouring us. And the Lord is certainly looking for each one of you and saying, I want you to grow. I want you to increase. So that is really the sermon. Except let's unpack it a little bit. We'll come back to Colossians chapter 2. I want to think about two things. First of all, some areas of increase. You may be asking yourself, well, that's all very well. How am I to grow? Well, as I've said, there are so many ways in which the Lord wants us to grow. Let me just refer you to some that I believe, some anyway, that came to my own heart. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the first two verses says this: for this reason, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, in order that you may grow. And at the risk of repeating ourselves until we drop, but I think we probably will be repeating this until we drop, the way to increase, the way to growth, comes through the word of God. And this scripture says that as newborn babies, we have to earnestly desire that sincere milk of the word. Now, Peter is not talking to immature believers when he's writing this. He's not saying he's writing to babes. He's saying that we are all of us, however mature or young in the faith we may happen to be, we are all of us to desire earnestly the sincere milk of the word. And, of course, if we can handle it more than that, we're to earnestly desire the meat as well. In my weakness over this last week, one of the things I have relished was a huge lump of rump steak. We are to earnestly desire the equivalent of the rump steak, as far as the word of God is concerned. It is only by that you may grow. And you may have been a Christian for a number of years, and your flesh says as you come to read the word, oh, you know Leviticus. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it says you don't know Leviticus. But maybe, you know, a bit of you says, I've read this before. You know, how earnest is that desire? We need to have that desire. Crave it, friends, with all of our hearts. And if that is to happen, we need to lay aside certain things. So we need to be just as wholehearted in putting aside the malice, the guile, the hypocrisies, the envies and the evil speakings, because the two are opposite. If you are entertaining those, you will not get into the word. So my dear friend, are you growing? Are you increasing through the word of God? Are you getting into the word of God? Are you reading it? Are you meditating in it? Are you learning to feed from it? If you are not, you are spiritually malnourished. Your spiritual growth will be stunted and you won't get far. This is how you grow. Three times in the book of Acts, we read a phrase like this, that the word of God grew and multiplied. The first occasion is Acts chapter 6. And as a result of that, don't turn to it, but I will read it. The word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Friends, when the word of God grows in our lives individually, but here, when there's a corporate growth, when there is an impact, then the number of disciples will increase. And certainly numerical increase is part of it. But will you notice it says the number of disciples increases. We are not, as God's people, meant to just simply fill up chairs. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. And it's the discipleship that's the important thing. And it's that that God wants. And it is that, I have to say to you, as an eldership, we are absolutely committed to. And so it doesn't matter how young or how old you are in the faith, we want you to grow in your discipleship. Because that's the increase that the Lord longs for us as well. I said there were three times. One, the second time is chapter 12 and chapter 24, but I'm going to move on to chapter 19 and verse 20, where it says that the word of God so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And in the context of chapter 19, this is something even more remarkable, really. Or it's taking it to another level, because this is in the context of a city at Ephesus, the life of which was turned upside down by the word of God. And those who were practicing the occult and magic arts came and burned their books as a result of it. And there was real upheaval as the priority of Diana worship was completely challenged and overthrown. Hallelujah. Friends, when the word of God grows like that, then there is impact on society round about us. And I must say, that is something that I long to see more of. What about an example for us? I said the word of God, that's just one area of growth. If we look at the example par excellence of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2. Again, there's no need to turn to this. I will read it out. I'm referring quite a few scriptures today before we finish with Colossians 2. But the end of Luke chapter 2, it says about the Lord Jesus that he increased in wisdom. And there's the second way in which I think the Lord wants us to increase. I mean, if Jesus increased in wisdom and he had to learn these things because he had chosen to limit himself to a human body. So he had to learn by experience. He increased in wisdom and stature or maturity and in favor with God and man. He is our pattern. He was born of the Spirit. When you and I become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into us and we are born from above. But thereafter, God wants to see growth. And he wants us to increase, how? In wisdom. And in stature. This is why the Apostle Paul, who understood this very well, at the beginning of the Ephesian letter in the first chapter, prayed for the Ephesians that they would know the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We are increasing wisdom through the Holy Spirit, his work in us, teaching us. Through the spirit of wisdom and revelation. My dear friend, knowing God is not a matter of academic knowledge. It's not a matter of coming to certain opinions. It's a matter of revelation. I mean, thank God it is. Otherwise, those of us who are a little bit more thick wouldn't stand a chance. The spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him. And God wants us to have an experiential knowledge of the Lord. This is what he wants us to increase in. And he wants us to have an experiential knowledge as an as an assembly together as well. He wants our eyes to be enlightened, that we may know, again, in experience, what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, etc. Friends, that is how we come to maturity. So I throw these things out to you in the trust and the hope that the Lord will take something of this and just quicken it to your own heart and say, that's how I want you to increase. That's how I want you to grow. John the Baptist is another good example as well. The previous chapter, he grew and became strong in spirit. There's another area of increase. We need to learn something of spiritual strength. And you say, well, I am not strong. Hallelujah, you're not. Isaiah 40 says, to those that have no might, he increases strength. And the word for increase there is a very interesting word. It literally means to exchange. So the Lord is not wanting to add to your natural strength. He's wanting you to get rid of your natural strength. And he says, look, put your own abilities to one side. Let me give you my strength. To those that have no might, he increases or changes strength. It comes from waiting upon the Lord, of course. Look at it. We are to grow, 2 Peter 3 verse 18, in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. You need both. And if you don't know an increase in both, you will be prey to what the previous verse says, which is being led astray with the error of the wicked. We're to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And finally, on this little section anyway, corporately, we are to grow up into Christ. It's not increase for the sake of increase. It's his increase that is given to us that we may grow up into Christ, because the church is Christ among us. And that's the thing that the Lord wants us to know. Well, are you growing in the Lord? And are we as a church growing? Are we becoming that holy temple in the Lord that Ephesians 2 talks about? These are, anyway, some of the questions I think we could legitimately ask. Well, if the Lord wants increase, how is it to happen? Would you please, if you've moved away from Colossians 2, would you go back there? Because I just want to put this little phrase in its context and just touch on various things from verse 16 onwards to show us how we may grow. We're going to start with verse there about... I think there are about five things here I want to touch on. Four of them, anyway. First of all, verse 20. If you have died with Christ. And we're looking at this little phrase immediately after verse 19, because actually the if refers right back to verse 10 onwards. Verse 11 onwards, really, where it talks, for example, verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions, it talks about verse 11 being circumcised with a circumcision made without Christ. In verse 11, verse 10, bless you. In verse 9, it talks about the fullness of Christ dwelling in him in bodily form. Verse 20 is a summary of the teaching that's gone before. There is room for increase. There is a possibility of growth if we are dead with Christ. If we understand, therefore, that our sinful nature has been crucified with Christ. There is no reason for us to have to sin. There is victory over our old sinful nature. We are dead to sin, the Bible tells us. When Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for the sins of the world, but he also took the sin itself. He took you with him on the cross. Simon Wyatt was put on the cross when Jesus died. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. If you grasp that by revelation, friends, it takes a whole lot of the struggle away. You can increase because you are dead with Christ. The Bible says that we are to repent from dead works. The tragedy is some of us see the need for increase, and so we start a program. We start in our energies and in our enthusiasm to try and produce that increase. And the Bible says, turn away from dead works. Anything that emanates from self is going to produce death. The only thing that God is committed to blessing and producing life out of is that which he has initiated. I trust that that is clear. God does in his mercy bless other things as well. But that which he's committed to blessing is that which he has initiated himself. No dead works. The verse 20 talks about being dead from the elemental principles of the world. I'm not going to go into the detail of that, but I should think at least it includes the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we are dead to the world. We do not need to conform to this present evil world. We are no longer, if we're Christians, under the domain of the prince of this world, who is Satan himself. If you're not a Christian, you are under his rule. You are in that kingdom of darkness, which incidentally includes false religion. But, dear friends, if we are dead with Christ, we do not need to give in to false religion. And from verse 20 onwards, it talks in as an example about certain things, and we may touch on those just in a moment or two. But really what the apostle is saying here, therefore, is with the whole matter of increase, is beware size. The mustard tree that Jesus spoke about, the grain of which is very small, becomes a monstrosity, becomes something that is far bigger than ever God intended it to be. And in that mustard tree, the birds of the air come and find their place. And the birds of the air are very clearly spelled out to us by the Lord Jesus what they represent, their demonic powers. I would be very careful of when a church or even a Christian organization becomes too big. Beware size. I'm not ruling everything out, please. I'm just flagging up the danger. And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody or anything. I'm just saying be careful. Increase does not mean size. Neither does it mean speed. There was a seed that the Lord Jesus spoke about that fell into the ground and it grew up quickly. And anybody looking at that seed would have thought, wow, isn't that exciting? It's growing fast. I can think of one person, young man, who arguably grew very, very well. But with hindsight, it was too quick. There was something that wasn't right, something that wasn't dealt with. The man is nowhere now with the Lord, sad to say. So you need to be careful about speed. Don't worry if you're a tortoise. It doesn't matter. Go at the Lord's pace. Of course, he's wanting you to go a bit faster than being a tortoise. That's a different matter. But don't despise yourself if you're just plodding along. That's fine. Plod. Get there. You'll get there. Finish the course that the Lord sets for you. Secondly, in Colossians 2, if we are to grow, verses 16 and 17, don't be preoccupied by that which is a shadow, that which is unreal. The substance is Christ. The way to increase is to lay hold of him. The way to increase is in your relationship with Christ. Don't be preoccupied with religious ceremonies or with religious issues, or thinking that your spirituality depends on whether you eat certain kinds of food or not, whether you drink certain kinds of drink or not, whether you keep a festival. And Paul is talking to Jews here, living in an alien culture, and he's saying, look, you know, basically he's saying, don't force the Gentile believers in your culture to keep the Jewish festivals. They don't have to. If you want to keep a Jewish festival, that's fine. And those in Israel do so. But they are shadows. They are pointing to something else. The reality is Christ. If you want to take one day off a week and make it Saturday, that is fine. But don't tell everybody else to do so. And make sure that it is the Lord who's telling you to do it. There are five principles of how we are to manage these kind of issues and therefore relate to each other that are mentioned in Romans chapter 14. The last one of which is, whatever is not of faith is sin. Make sure that you and I do everything by faith, which means that we need to hear from the Lord and be fully convinced in our own mind. It does not mean that we're to be stubborn. I'm fully convinced that what I'm doing is right. Now, I'm not saying that, but we just need to, it's to do with our conscience and our relationship with the Lord. So don't be preoccupied by shadows. Don't be preoccupied by legalism. There is room for disagreement amongst believers on the practice of those things. But I think there's something else here. If we're to grow, don't give yourself to the judgment of any man, imagined or real. And those last words are mine, really. You see, if it says here, don't let anybody judge you, some of us are very prone to listening to other people's opinions. Or thinking that somebody thinks, yeah, if I do X, Y, and Z, maybe the eldership won't approve. Whether or not the eldership approves is irrelevant. Don't be judged. The Lord is your judge. Let the Lord judge you. That is the way to growth. If you are more mindful of what other people think of you rather than what the Lord thinks about you, you are not going to grow very far. Or fast. Thirdly, verse 18. Don't let anybody defraud you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. Beware of bogus spiritual experiences. And this scripture speaks of a number of things. Delighting in self-abasement. The Authorized Version says in a voluntary humility. Really what it means is something, worship that springs, or worship or discipleship, anything that springs from self-will or preference or choice. So verse 23, if you just look down there, it actually talks about the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion. In the Authorized Version, it talks about in will worship. So this includes, for example, worshipping the Lord out of a way that you prefer to do it. This is maybe going off at a tangent or... which is unfortunate because it really needs a sermon in itself, really. But, you know, we don't worship the Lord out of personal preference. We don't worship the Lord in the way that we do, or we shouldn't be worshipping the Lord just because I happen to prefer it that way. There are reasons why we don't have drums up here. It's not because I personally can't stand them. I can cope with them in moderation. Worship is to be worship in spirit and in truth. That's the thing. So, what about your worship? What about your personal preferences? What about the way that you follow the Lord? Is it the way that the Lord wants you to follow him? It's what the Lord wants that is the important thing, not what you choose. If you choose to be liturgical, that's all right. I'm not against liturgy as such, as it's, long as it's good, but I am against liturgy where the Spirit of God is not present and where we're simply just going through a form of religion, but the Lord isn't there. Well, I've just touched on these things really, and they probably need a bit of expansion, and I'll probably get collared afterwards. Well, never mind, I just want to throw out the thought really. You know, just think about it. This, you see, if we get a wrong idea of these things, it's going to restrict our increase. It's going to restrict our worship. And then it talks about, let's think of a few other things. It talks about self-abasement. So, penance. No place for it. Why punish yourself when the Lord Jesus has taken all the punishment that you and I deserve? Why condemn yourself when he says there's no condemnation? It's these kind of things. We just need to be on the alert. These are the things that will stop growth and stop increase. And when it says worship in verse 18 and in verse 23, it's a particular word for worship that is to do with outward religious observance. And lastly, and I suppose in a way this is the thing I want to underline more than anything else as we conclude. How are we to grow? It's by holding fast to the head. And when the scripture says hold fast, the force of the Greek is that it means that we seize hold. It's a word that's pretty violent. That we retain, that we hold fast and not let go. There is a warning in one of the letters of John that says, look, be careful that you don't lose that which you have gained, that you don't lose your reward. My encouragement to us all, friends, as we are reminded of this word that I believe the Lord brought to us, is that we should hold fast Christ. From him comes everything. From him will come all the nourishment that you need. From him, the whole body fits together. The joints and the ligaments, which I think are to do with our attitudes and to do with our relationships. And if either of those two things isn't quite right, hold fast the head. Get the Lord's perspective on your brother and on your sister if we're going to grow corporately. Enable the Lord to deal with the wrong attitude. Allow the Lord to knit us together. Thank God for that which I see and encourages me greatly. But the Lord wants us to be to come to a place of proving, come to a place of greater assurance, come to a place of greater experience, really, in the Lord, where holding fast to him, joined together to one another, because of him, there is a growth that comes from God. Well, that is what I believe the Lord showed us at the beginning of the year. It is now April. We have a few months in which to be encouraged to go on and know these things a little bit more. And friend, are you growing? Are you increasing in the knowledge of the Lord, in the word of God, in the grace of God, in wisdom and in stature? Oh, take these things to heart, please, dear friend, if you need to. Let's pray, please.